Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Harei's Daf Yud Beis. We begin right on top. Back to the topic of the Meshicha, the way they would anoint the Kehanim Gedolim, the kings, using the fragrant oil, the Shemen HaMishcha. One of those was a king by the name of Yoyachaz. Asks the Gemara, really? At that time, the Shemen HaMishcha had been put away, had been hidden by his own father for concern that they were going to, you know, they're going to be plundered and looted, the Arayin and all the associated holy items, lest they be taken away by the Goyim. They hid them deep underground, under the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara, Umi hava Shemen HaMishcha? Is it so that the Shemen HaMishcha, this anointment oil, was around at his time? V'atanya. We have a braisa that it was all put away by his own father, Yoshio HaMelech, Mishenignas Orein. So when the Orein, the ark containing the Luchais, was put away by Yoshio, along with it went also the Shemen HaMishcha, Vitzinsenes HaMon, the container with the sampling of the Mon, which Hashem told them to put away, to store away for future generations, to show them that Hashem is the ultimate provider. Umaklishal Aron, the staff of Aron, the miraculous stick, which sprouted forth, you know, the nuts, the almonds, right? Shkedeh uferachea, together with its almonds and blossoms, and together with the Aron, also went along the argos sheshalchu plishtim doiron li Yisrael, the treasure chest sent by the plishtim as a gift to Hashem when they. When they took the Arayin away, and then they encountered just hardship, and they sent it right back, together with a gift. So all that goes together with the Arayin Shenema Res Klei Hazov Asher Yishivoysim Loi Osham Tosimu Ba'argas Mitzidoi. So the golden vessels that you were going to send back with the Arayin, this was by the Plishtim. Tosimu Ba'argas Mitzidoi Vishlachtem Moise V'holoch. So we learn that the Argos, this treasure chest, accompanied the Arayin, and whatever happened to the Arayin, in this case, was stored away in hiding. Likewise, this treasure chest, Umignosai, who in fact hid the Arayin together with all the other artifacts, it was Yeshio Melech Yehuda Ganzai, Shirah Shekasa Batar, because he was concerned due to the fact that the Pasuk was predicting that Yelech Hashem Oischa Vesmalkcha, that Hashem will lead you into exile. He figured, let me put away the Arayin before it happens, lest it be taken away as well. Tziva v'gunazum. So he instructed, and he had all these items hidden. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, v'yemer l'alviyim, ha'mavinim echol Yisrael ha'kdeshim l'Hashem. So he addressed the Leviyim, and he says, hide the Arayin quickly. Tenuas Arayin ha'kodesh, b'vayis ha'shavon ha'shlemim ben David melech Yisrael. So hide it in the underground, you know, chambers deep below the Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomi HaMelech. Ein lochem masal b'kosef, you're no longer going to be carrying the Arayin. Ata ividus Hashem lekechem asama Yisrael, this is the way to serve Hashem now. Hide the Arayin, lest it get, gets captured. So the Arayin itself was hidden deep underground. V'amr b'lazer, likewise, the Tzintzenes Haman. This is learned by way of a gzera shava astya sham. We connect the word Sham, which we find by the Tzintzenes Haman, it says Shama. We connect it to the word Sham that we find by the Arayin. So it shared the same, you know, fate. Asher Mishmeres, Mishmeres, we connect the Aron HaKohen's stick, where it says Mishmeres, to the Iman, where it also says the word Mishmeres, so it went along with it. Asher Doros Doros, and likewise, we extend this to the Shemen HaMishcha as well, where we have the Lashon Doiros, it says L'Doroseichem, and by the Mon, it also has similar wording, L'Doroseichem. So they were all packaged and put away together. Okay, so how could we find the Shemen HaMishcha in the later generations? How could it have been applied to the later king? Amar HaPapa, you're right. Yochas never actually received the original Shemana Mishcha. It was sort of a imitation. Bafarsa Madachia, they used a persimmon, you know, oil special, you know, pure farsamine oil for this purpose. This was sort of a substitute for the original Shemana Mishcha. Tana Rabbana. So how did they go about applying this oil on the Malachim? Ketzad hayu moshchen es ha-malachim, how would they do it? Kuminezer, it was around their head. They would spread it around their head in a circle like a crown, because this was you know, part of the crowning process, right? Vesa kehanim, wrote about the kehanim gedolim, kimin ki. It was applied like a key. What is a key? My kimin ki, mar minash mar gadu, kimin kaf yivoni. There was a letter in Greek called a key, which Rashi illustrates as a ches. So basically you would begin in the front between the eyes and then run it towards the back, which is pretty much a semicircle, which is like a ches, a letter ches. Now in the Torah we find that they would smear the oil like we just described, but also it says vayitzak, they would drip it on his head. So which one was first? Tanichad, one braisa, it says batchila moitzkin, first they drip it on the head, shemen al reshay, v'chankach, and then noisnin lo yishemen min risei enov, then they apply it between his eyebrows and spread it around. So first the drip, then the application. Tani idach, some say the other way. Batchila noisnin lo yishemen min risei enov, first they would apply it by smearing it, and then they would drip it on his head, v'chankach moitzkin lo yishemen al reshay. What's the machlekes about? Says the Gemara, tanoi, actually it's machlekes tanoim. Ikad amri, some hold meshicha adifa, the smearing takes priority. It's more important, therefore it comes first. Ikad amri, some say yitzika adifa, no, the dripping is more important and comes first. My time at the manam yitzika adifa, why does he say the dripping is first? Tachsiv, because we find a pasuk which says vayitzik mishem na mishchal roisha aron. First it says he dripped it, vayim shachesh lekacha, and then he applied it and he smeared it. So you see, yitzika comes first. Uman damar meshicha adifa, the other one who says spreading it around comes first, and that's better. Why? My timer, because the pas, because he holds meshicha takes priority. Sheken atamotze itzak leisharis, because we find by the holy vessels in the midbar which did not have yitzika, there was no dripping on them, it was just meshicha. So you see that meshicha is more prevalent and takes priority. Asks the Gemara, but the pasuk indicates otherwise. Oksiv, the pasuk we just quoted. Goes v'oksiv v'yitzayik, and then v'asoy v'yimshach. So how could he switch it around? Chika Amar, the pasuk means matam v'yitzayik. Why did he drip it? Because he already smeared it mishum de v'yimshach, because v'yimshach comes first. Turn it up. I don't want to turn it right. So, describing the Shemana Mishcha, how it was applied on Arei Na'koyin. Kashem and Atoyev, you have a pasuk in Tehillim, like the oil. Yoyered al azokin zekan Arein, which was found, which came onto the beard of Aaron HaKohen. The pasuk continues, it's compared to the dew on the mountain of Hermon, Ketal Hermon, etc. The pasuk here is teaching us, Kimin shnei tipi margolis, hoitluyos la'aron bezekonoi. There were two drips of the Shemana Mishcha, which miraculously stayed put, and were sort of attached to his beard, and stayed in place. That's the way the Chachamim understood and interpreted this pasuk. Amra Papa Tana. So we learn in the Braisa, Keshum Saper, where an Aron HaKohen would converse with people, and actually the Tosfos HaRosh says Masaper means Masaper Zekane, when he would trim his beard. So there would be concern about the drops of Shemana Mishcha being shorn off. So they would actually travel upwards to the base of his hair, to the base of the beard. They would travel upward to the roots, to the, you know, the base of the beard, so that they don't, you know, trickle off. You know, if it was conversing, so movement, right? The speaking, you know, the talking movement, or according to Tosfos HaRosh, because it was being trimmed, so it had to travel away. And it stayed there. And because of this on account of this shemen that was applied to Aaron, Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu, his brother Doeg, was concerned. Amar, he says, maybe I misused the shemen. Shemen chas v'shalom me'alti b'shemen mishka. Perhaps when I applied it to Aaron HaKoyen, I was touching it and I misused it by personally benefiting from the oil which was on my skin. He's concerned about that. Yotze Baskel ba'amro, comes a Baskel and calls out, Ka shemen atoiv, don't worry, says the heavenly voice to him. It's like the this shemen atoiv on Aaron HaKoyen is like ketal chermoin, like the dew out in the mountain. To tell you, ma tal chermoin einbo me'ilo, just like the dew on the chermoin mountain has no me'ilo concerns. Likewise, this oil was used properly, no worries. Af shemen amishcha shebezakan aron ein bo me'ilo. Likewise, the oil, aron akoyin's beard, there's no me'ilo concerns. Vadayin hoya aron doyeg. But still, aron akoyin himself was concerned. Amar, he says, shema moshe lo moel, sure, perhaps moshe abeinu. Okay, he's not guilty of me'ilo. Aval ani ma'alti. But perhaps I did commit me'ila by perhaps having the oil drip on places where it didn't need to drip on, and perhaps I benefited from it. Once again, Yotze Baskel, but Amalei Baskel calls out and says, don't worry, Hinei Matuv Yamanoim, Sheves Acham Gam Yochad. The two brothers are in the same status. Ma Moshe Loimal, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, committed no me'ila, Af Ato Yura as well, no concern, Loimal Alto, there's no me'ila as well. Tana Rabbanon, Ei Moshechen Asa Melochem Ela Alamayon, when they would do the Mashiach, four kings, it would be done on a stream, near a stream, Kadei Shetimosha Machusam, which provided a good siman. Just like the stream flows on, carries on, uninterruptedly, likewise, their malchus, their kingship, should just carry on. That's why they chose that location, Shenema, as we find, when David, HaMelech, told them, you know, to be Moshech, to apply the Shemen on Shlomo, his son. He says, take him to the Gichain stream, Shenema Vayomar Melech Lehech Lehem, Kechui Mochem Es Abde Adenechem, and bring him down, Veratim Oisil El Gichain, that's where you do the Mashiach as a good simon. Amar B'Ami, Haiman De Boy Leda, speaking about simonim used to test situations. So if a fellow would like to know, Imasig Shata, if he will complete the year, if he will live out the year, Oilo Iloi or not, Nisli Shragi should light a candle, Basor Yoimi, during the 10 days of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Devein Rosh Hashanah Mekipurim, and he should light it Bebeis Lo Nyoshev Zika, in a home which is wind, air, no breeze coming through it, Imashach Nohiri. So if in fact the lamp just burns and burns down till it consumes all its oil, then he knows he'll have a good year. Neita de Masak Shati, knows he'll survive the year. But otherwise, there's concern. Uman de boy lemevet v'iska. Likewise, if one is embarking on a business venture, uboy lemevet, he'd like to test and to know if in fact he'll have success or not. He should do as follows. Libri tanagoyle, he should raise a chicken for this purpose and see if the chicken succeeds. Ishamin, if he gets fat, v'shapar, and improves and gets plump, matzlach, then he knows his business venture will succeed. Haiman de boy lemepek l'orcha. Likewise, if one is about to leave on a trip, or boy lemeidev, he'd like to know ichazar, if in fact he'll return home safely, va'asil beisa, and come back home iloy or not. Chas v'shalom neikum v'beisa d'chavra. So he should go about as follows. He should walk into a dark room. Ichazi b'voy de b'voy, if he sees a secondary a shadow to himself, basically the initial shadow, the dark shadow, is basically as tall as the person. So if he's 6 feet tall, the shadow, the first 6 feet, is considered primary shadow, but beyond that, it sort of fades. So he should test and see if he has a secondary shadow. Then he knows he'll be successful. Later he'll know the hadavas lebeis, he'll return back home safely. But otherwise, it's a problem. On all these various tests, says the Gemara v'lav Musi, a person should not go ahead and do this. Dil mochal shodaite, because you see, these aren't really absolute. And if in fact, if it comes back negative, if it might weaken his resolve, and discourage him. Umisra mazal, and that in itself can impact his mazal, impact his atzlacha. Right? Person's happy and in a positive disposition, that strengthens his resources, his spiritual resources, his mazel, his chance of success, and likewise in the reverse. Amar Abaye, talking about simonim toivim, actually we do it on Rosh Hashanah. Hashta da amar simonim osei, now that we've established that in fact there is something to these this concept of simonim. He's going back to the Meshicha of the kings, which was done by the stream to provide that good simon, an extra, you know, energy. So likewise, we should do it on Rosh Hashanah in a positive sense. Lo ilam yeirogel lemechse bereishat. So a person should accustom himself to nechse, to take a look, to gaze, to observe on Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at certain vegetables, which are very successful, which grow very quickly and successfully. Kara, a pumpkin, verubia, some tulsan plant, karti, leek, vasilka, beets, vatamri, and dates. These things grow very quickly. And, yeah, observe them. And that puts a person in the right frame of mind. And first I'll explain, it's not just, the seeing, it's the symbolism and the internalization. A person thinks to himself, okay, look how quick we can succeed, look how quick we can get on the right track, and that will encourage him to do the right thing and have a successful year. In our case, we actually eat many of these things, and we say the special Yiratzon, which again the Chafetz Chaim says is mainly directed at our own, you know, resolve, our own personal innards, to motivate us to, in fact, improve our conduct. Amar lo Rav Mesharshi Lebrei. So Mesharshi tells his sons, Ki ba'isu meil imigmeri kami rabaychu. When you wish to enter and learn Torah by your teachers, garus masnisa, first prepare, right? Make the laning, learn the background information. Va'alu kami rabaychu, then enter the Rebbe and listen to the lecture, which will provide enhancement on what you have learned. And when you sit in front of the Rebbe, observe his mouth. That's how you connect to him and connect to the words that he's saying in a very direct way. As the pasuk says, your eyes should be focused on your Rebbe without distraction. And when in fact you go learn, try to find a place near a river, which again is a siman toiv, the chiheche, the mashkan mai, just like the water flows continuously, mashkan shmosaychu, shmat saychu. Likewise, your learning should go on eternally without interruption. V'sivu akilkali demasa machasi. Another good piece of advice in terms of where to live. Choose to live even on the dumps, the garbage dumps of mota machasya, because the people there are good. So even if you have to live in a dump place, it's better there than living in a city, which is perhaps more luxurious. V'loitesu v'loitivu, rather than sitting and living apadni in the palaces, the pumbadisa of that city, where the people aren't as complimentary as the people of Mata Machasu. So better have a good environment, even if you have to forego conveniences, rather than living in Mupadisa where the people were less than honest. As we learned back in other Gemaras, they weren't the most upstanding people. Tav gildona sarya, better to have a small fish, which is not so fresh, the mata machasya lameichal, to eat a mata machasya, better hang out there, even if it means giving up mikutcha de rami kepi, rather than eating the kutach, the luxurious dip, milk dip of Rame Kepi, which can crash the mountains, the boulders down, basically. It's not so healthy to have this the kutach. Others learned that he was basically sending the same message again. Have a lesser diet than a more, higher standard of living, but it's amongst people that are haughty, Rame Kipi, like mountains, like boulders, live in a humble place, even if you have to forego, luxuries. Back to the Meshicha of the Shemen on the kings. So this is where Chana sang to Hashem, Rama Karni Balakoi. She spoke about a keren, a horn. What does that mean? Rama Karni Balaroma Pachi. that the kings, her descendants, which were recipients of the Shemen HaMishcha, which came from a keren, taken out of a horn, which contained the oil, Roma Karni, their status remained high, they were successful, rather than the kings that got their oil from a pach, from a simple, you know, container. For instance, David HaShleimah, Shenim Shechu BeKeren, David HaShleimah, who got their Meshicha through a keren, so a keren starts narrow, and it, you know, widens and gets longer and longer, that's a good siman for success. Nimsha Malchus, in fact, their Malchus lasted long, as opposed to Shaul, and also V'yeyu, Shenim Shechu BePach, their oil came out of a pach, their Malchus was short-lived, L'nim Shecha Malchus. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah, where we learn that only HaMoshech B'Shem HaMishcha, a Kohen Gadol, who was a recipient of the Shem HaMishcha, was anointed by this oil. In fact, he will bring a par if he sins, as opposed to a Kohen Gadol who was not lucky enough to get the Shem HaMishcha, rather he just had the Merubah Begadim, he was given the extra Begadim. He doesn't have the din of par upon, you know, sinning. Tana Rabbanan. So we have the Braisa describing the Kohen HaMashiach who sinned and brings a special carbon par. Mashiach, Yochel Melech, perhaps the Mashiach is speaking about the king, because he too was a recipient of the Shem HaMishcha. Tamaloyma comes to the Pasuk and says, Kohen, no, he's a Kohen HaMashiach, was speaking about the Kohen Gadol who was anointed. E Kohen, if the Torah would only say the word Kohen, Yochel, I would think, even a Merubah Begadim, who never got the Shemen, also brings that unique carbon. Tamaloymar, the Pasuk continues, HaKoyen HaMashiach, to tell you, only one who is anointed. I Mashiach, if the Pasuk would only say Mashiach without the Hey HaMashiach, Yochel, I would think, Mashiach Melchama, even the leader, which simply led them to battle. Right? He was also sort of a Kohen Gadol. He also qualifies for the special carbon. Tamaloymar comes the Pasuk, V'HaKoyen HaMashiach, the Kohen HaMashiach, Sheinu Mashiach HaGambov, was speaking about the Kohen Gadol on the highest level, who outranks the other Kohanim Gedolim. So we exclude the Kohen HaMashiach from this halach. My mashma. Where do you see that in the words HaKohen HaMashiach? Where does the extra hey teach us? Kedama Rav, as Rav told us regarding something else, regarding the Gid HaNasha, that it only applies to the right thigh of the animal, because it says HaYarech. The extra hey tells you HaMiyumanes SheBiYarech. Miyumanes means the most notable, the most prominent of the thighs, meaning the right one, HaChanamir as well. The word HaMashiach means the Kohen Gadol of the highest stature, HaMiyuman SheBe Meshuchim. So although there were several Meshuchim, there was a Kohen Mashiach Muhammad, no, he's the highest, and only he gets the par. Amamar, so let's go back to the Braisa. The word Mashiach perhaps refers to the king, Yachal Melech. And he brings a par. Ask the Gemara, Melech? Paru demaisi? Does then a king bring a par? Soyer demaisi? I thought the king brings a soyer. Israch, no. We still have to highlight this and point this out, because I would think, Sakat HaChamina, I would think that there were two options available to the king. Al Shigas Masa, if he sinned merely by way of the act, Yavi Sor, it brings a special carbon, a Sor. But if there are two components involved, Al Helam Davar, if in addition to the actual act, it was preceded by Helam Davar, intellectual misjudgment, a ruling which led to it, Yavi Par. So if he made an errant ruling and then he followed through, he has to bring a Par. It switches from a Sor to a Par. Yavi Par, Kamashman, the point of the Pasuk is to say, no, a Par is specific to the Kohen Mashiach and not to the Melech. And in fact, Ein Bein Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha, the Mishnah points out this difference between a Kohen Moshuach and a Kohen who is merely Merubah Begadim, although they're both Kohanim Gedolim, but since he was anointed, he wasn't. Only the anointed one has the ability to bring a par as opposed to the other one. Mas Nisan, our Mishnah, which differentiates between the Merubah Begadim and the other one, is the like Rav Meir, unlike Rav Meir, who holds that even a Kohen Merubah Begadim, even if he wasn't anointed with that oil, he was simply given the extra Begadim to wear, he too achieves this high status and brings this special, unique carbon, a par. The like Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir Tani, we have a Braisa, that Merubah Begadim may be par. How about the mitzvahs? The Rav Meir holds, even a Merubah Begadim brings a par, but V'lo Hedlu Chacham Chacham disagree. My time, the Rav Meir, why does Rav Meir equate him to the anointed one. The Sani Rabbi Brisa Mashiach. The pasuk speaks about a Mashiach, an anointed one. Eli Elo Moshiach B'Shem Mishkal. Perhaps the par only applies to the anointed Kohen Gadol. Meruba Begadim. What about the Meruba Begadim? Tamaloi Mar Hakohen Hamashiach. So the extra word Hakohen covers the Meruba Begadim as well. And although we just learned that the words are needed for the other, to rule out the king, but the Mefarshim explained that Rameir held that there was no need to have the Lashon HaKoyin, so that we don't mistakenly think that the word Mashiach is going on the king, because we find that the king was given a different label. He was called Nasi, so he holds there's no need, there would be no room to think that Mashiach is going on the king. So all it needs to say is Mashiach, and we know it's the Kohen Gadol, the anointed one. The extra word HaKohen covers Meruba Begadim as well. Okay, B'mayu Kim to Kerabon. So you've established that the Mishnah, which excludes the Meruba Begadim, is going like the Rabban. Okay, Ema Seifa. Let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah draws different lines, different distinctions between an active Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Gadol who was merely substituting as no longer active because the original Kohen came back, right? Ema Seifa, as the Mishnah continues, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish. There isn't much difference between an active Kohen Gadol who's currently serving, the Kohen Sha'aver, versus the Kohen who had taken his place temporarily and is now relegated to backup. He's no longer active. There's no difference between the two. They're both still considered Kohanim Gedolim, only with respect to two halachas. Ela Pariyam Kippurim, the special Pariyam Kippur, only the active Kohen Gadol brings back. Hersa Eifan, the twice daily Mincha, is only brought by the active Kohen Gadol, not by the backup Kohen Gadol. Now that halacha, that distinction, Asan Rameir, is consistent with Rameir Shita. So here we say that we're not going like Rameir, but part B of the Mishnah is following Rameir, the Sanya. Where do we find Rameir Shita in this regard? Ere by Psul b'Kohen Gadol v'Avar. So the Kohen Gadol experienced a Psul. He became Tameh, he couldn't serve anymore at this point. V'Avar, and he was removed temporarily. Uminu Kohen Achar Tachtav. And, okay, so they appointed a new Kohen instead. A new Kohen Gadol. And then the original Kohen Gadol, Reuven, who had left his position temporarily, came back to into service. So now we have two Kohanim Gedolim available to do Avodah. What happens? Harishin Chozel Avodasos. Reuven returns to his post. Vasheni and Shimon, the substitute, Kol Mitzvos Kunalov. All the halachas Kohen Gadol applied to him as well. Pretty much all, except for those two points that we mentioned before, Divrei Rav Meir. Here you go. So Rav Meir is the one who holds that the substitute Kohen Gadol still retains his status. However, Rabbi Yosi Omer, no. Rishon Chozel Avodasos. Reuven comes back into service. Visheni, but Shimon Ein Roi, he's in limbo. He can't serve as a Kohen Gadol nor as a regular Kohen. Ein Roi Loi the Kohen Gadol, V'Loi the Kohen Hedyot. And we'll see in a minute why. In fact, Omer Rabbi Yosi, I have a story to back this up. Masad was a story with a Kohen Gadol by the name of B'Yosef Ben Elim from the town of Mitzipoiri. So he was a Kohen Gadol, and he became unfit. And then they appointed. There was a Kohen Gadol who became unfit, and he, Yosef ben Elam, served as a temporary substitute. Uminuhu tachtov, so he was appointed instead. And then the original Kohen Gadol came back. Uba masel nechacham, so the story was presented, the shiloh was presented to Chacham. What should we do? But Amr, they said, Rishon chod avodasoi. The original one comes back, v'sheni, and the new one, ein loy roi, loy l'kohen gadol, v'loy l'kohen hedyot. Yosef ben Elam cannot serve as a kohen gadol, nor as a kohen hedyot. Why? Kohen gadol, well, he can't be a kohen gadol, mishum eva. It's going to create animosity between himself and the other acting kohen gadol. You can't have two at once. And what about kohen hedyot? Why can't he just be a regular kohen, a kohen? Mishum malin b'kodesh v'emaridin, you don't downgrade. We're meant to upgrade in matters of holiness. So once he was up there, he can't be downgraded, so he's sort of in limbo. So bottom line is, in this brisa we find Rameir Shita, who says that the acting Kohen Gadol, likewise, the substitute Kohen Gadol, are both considered Kohanim Gedolim. So now back to our Mishnah, Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, which says that a Kohen Gadol, who's merely Meruba Begadim, who was never anointed, can't bring a par. That's going like the Rabbanim. And Sefer, the next part of the Mishnah, which equates between the acting and the substitute, that's Reb Meir. Right? It's unusual to have one Mishnah split between two authors. Amar Chizkiya, yeah, and we're forced to say so. Reisha, in fact, is the Rabbanim. The Sefer, the next part is Reb Meir. Reb Yosef Amar, I have another solution. Rebbe, the author of the Mishnah is, of our Mishnah is Rebbe HaKadosh, Rebbe Danasi. V'nasiv la'li l'tanoi. And he adopted two opinions. And in fact, he recorded the Mishnah. He wrote the Mishnah reflective of both these positions. So he adopted Shitas Rabbonah, the opinion of the Rabbonah regarding the first question, and the opinion of Rabbeinu regarding the second question. Rava Amar, he has another solution. Reb Shimon, the Mishnah was authored by Reb Shimon, who actually held both things. V'savol k'Reb Meir b'chada, regarding one matter, he held like Reb Meir. Regarding the other matter, he disagreed with Reb Meir. So it's Reb Shimon speaking. Now, what do we find? Reb Shimon's opinion regarding the acting Kohen Gadol and the substitute Kohen Gadol, that they're both on the same status. Asanya, Devarim, Shebein Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedit, Elohim. There are various halachas which distinguish between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen and a regular Kohen. What are they? A long list. Par habal kol mitzvah is a special par, bringing that the Kohen Gadol brings upon violating an aver, right? So that's special for the Kohen Gadol. Par Yom Kippurim, the special personal par that he brings in Yom Kippur. Vasir Seifa, the twice daily mincha. V'loy pareya, he can't let his hair grow, as an expression of mourning. V'loy pareya, nor can he tear his clothing, as an expression of mourning. Avol pareya melamato, but he can tear on the bottom, where it's not so noticeable. V'hedyot, as opposed to the ordinary kain, l'malo, he can tear on top without any restriction. Vein metam l'kroyim, a kain gadol cannot allow himself to engage in his departed relatives, even if it's a close relative, he can't become tamei. Muzar al-absul, he must marry a b'sula, basar b'amoni, he may not marry a widow. Machzer, v'machzer sur etzeach. Right, if the person who killed inadvertently, who's now escaped to the city of refuge, when the kain gadol passes away, he comes back home. Makrib oinein, kain gadol could engage in service in the Migdash, even if he's an oinein, a close relative passed away on that day, he can still proceed. Ve'en oichel, but he can't consume karbonis on that day. Ve'en oichel, nor can he even take a part of the carbon to eat at night, because he can only do avoida, not achila at this point. Makrib chelek b'roish, whenever he chooses, he can take any carbon, you know, and choose to be makrib throughout the year. Likewise, he can take and consume any part of the korban. He gets priority over his brethren. He serves with the eight special garments. And all the services in Kippur can only be conducted by Kohen Gadol. And if he enters the Migdash while he's tamei inadvertently, or he ate korbanis in that state, he doesn't bring a korban like we discussed the other day. So all these uniquenesses, they apply even to a Kohen Gadol who never got anointed. Rather, he only got to wear the eight begadim. That's how he was appointed. So all these halachos apply to him as well. He's pretty much on the same status, except that he's not eligible to bring the par. Chutz mipar, hamebi al kol mitzvos, that one is unique to the Kohen Gadol who was anointed. Okay, so this is consistent with our mission as well. V'chulon, furthermore, says the Brice, so all these dinim, noihagen, mashiach sh'over. Oh, what about the active Kohen Gadol versus the substitute? It applies even to the mashiach sh'over, the substitute who's now no longer serving. So all the halachas apply to him as well, chutz, except for those 2 points mentioned earlier, chutz mi par yom kippurim, asir seif, except for the yom kippur carbon and the twice daily mincha. So clearly, whoever's speaking in this brisa, I'm going to see soon it's Rabbi Shimon speaking. Regarding the first question, he holds like Reb Meir, that a merube begotten will not bring a par. Regarding the second question, he holds like the Rabbanon. Regarding the first question, that a merube begotten will not bring the par. And regarding the second question, he holds like Reb Meir, that the substitute Kohen Gadol has the same status, pretty much as the acting Kohen Gadol. V'chulon, all those halachas, ein oihagen b'mashiach mochama, doesn't apply to the kohen who leads them into battle. Chutz mechamisha dvarim hamurim b'parsha, except for those 5 personal restrictions and limitations that are actually recorded in the parsha, in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, where the pasuk speaks about the kohen gadol. So anything contained clearly in that parasha, which is five in total, applied to all the Kohanim Gadol, even the one who merely leads them into battle, and it wasn't really meant, you know, to lead them, lead the service in the Beis HaMikdash. What are these five things, which are sort of more personal? Le'pareav, le'pareav, he can't let his hair grow, nor can he tear his clothing as a sign of mourning. So priya means he can't let his hair grow regardless of mourning or not mourning, right? And prima means he can't tear his le'pareav, nor can he tear his clothing. Ve'in matam le'kroivim, nor can he become tummy to a relative who passed away, right? Umuzer alab suli must marry absulu vas ramali can't marry an amano. Umachzer to ritzeach, and the ritzeach returns upon his death. Rebbe Yehuda. They hold that Mashiach Muhammad's death will not allow the Ritzach to come back home. That only happens through a Kohen Gadol whose function was to lead service in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Okay, in any case, again, in this Brisa we find a reference to the par that a Kohen Gadol brings, and it only applies to a Kohen who is Mashuach, who got anointed, but a Merubah B'Gadol will not bring a par al Kol HaMitzvahs. That's like the Shittas HaChamim in our Mishnah. And regarding the other question, we find that a substitute Kohen Gadol, even though he's no longer active, is treated the same as the acting Kohen Gadol. That's the Gemara. And this is Reb Shimon speaking. He adopted both opinions. V'hai m'maydi Reb Shimon. How do you know this Brisa is Reb Shimon? There's no mention of Reb Shimon's name in the Brisa. Because who's the Shita that holds that a Kohen Gadol is potter al tumas mishik doshav upon entering the Mikdash betumas? Reb Shimon. Back on the test, we had Reb Shimon speaking. So this Brisa is Reb Shimon speaking again. And like we said, he adopted Reb Meir Shita regarding this point, Chacham regarding the other point, and apparently our Mishnah, which likewise took this track, is Reb Shimon speaking. So we spoke about the fact that all those halachis, all those higher standards, so to speak, will not apply to Mashiach Muhammad except for these five personal points. Chutz mechamishat dvarim mem reparsh. But not really, how do we know that in fact these five points apply to the Mashiach Muhammad as well? Tan Rabbanu, we have a Braisa. Ha-Kohen Agadol me'echav zeh Kohen Gadol. That's the standard Kohen Gadol. Asher yutzak al reish shemen ha-mishcha, who is anointed with the shemen ha-mishcha, zeh Mashiach Muhammad, coming to add the Mashiach Muhammad as well. U'mile es yodeh lulish as ha-bgadim. So he was given the bgadim, to become Kohen Gadol. Zeh merubah bgadim, applying to a Kohen Gadol who never got the shemen ha-mishcha. Rather, he was inaugurated by way of the bgadim. Al kulan, on all three of these Kohanim Gadolim, Huayim, the pasuk continues and says, he must adhere to higher standards. Roish alo yifra, don't let your hair grow. Begadav alo yifra, shouldn't tear his begadim. Balkalat nafesh meis lo yav, shouldn't become tummy even to a relative. Yachal, okay, so we see it applies to all of them. Yachal, yukulam, makrivim, einanim, perhaps. They get additional perks as well. So even when they're an einain, on the day of the close relative's passing, so just like the regular Kohen Gadol can serve in the Mikdash, without interruption, likewise, at Mashiach Muhammad as well. No, Talmud Lema, the pasuk says, Ki nezer shemen mishchas el kaval alav. Alav means alav. V'leil chaveri. So only him, only the actual anointed one, can serve while he's an oinah, but not the Mashiach Muhammad. Ask the Gemara, V'acha shechol ke'akosim. So now that the Torah drew that line, separated the Kohen Gadol, who is a Mashiach Muhammad, from the standard Kohanim Gadolim. So Yachol, just like he doesn't have the same perks, perhaps he doesn't have the same restrictions either. He doesn't have to marry a b'sula. The pasuk says, "Behu isha b'sula yikach." The extra word "behu" tells you even a Mashiach Muhammad. Actually, Rabbi Machlokes Tanoim whether or not it applies to Mashiach Muhammad. So again, back to the pasuk, "Behu isha b'sula yikach." He has to marry a b'sula. He can't marry an almana. Acha shachil hakasav riba. The reason why the pasuk had the word to add the word Vahu, because since we find that the Mashiach Muhammad was Chilek HaKotera, differentiated him, separated him from the rest, sort of bumped him down in a sense. So I would think perhaps he doesn't need to marry a Besula, and he can marry an Almana, Riba. Well, come back to Torah and says no, he's included as well, Divrei Bishmol. So clearly, Kunta Bishmol, it applies to Mashiach Muhammad. Rekiba Aymer, no, doesn't apply to Mashiach Muhammad. He doesn't have to marry a Besula. In fact, the point of the pasuk is like this: Ainli Ella Shavah Machmas Kiryah. It's talking about a Kohen Gadol who had to leave his post. So think Perhaps only a kohen who left temporarily because he was a balkeri became tamei, and sooner or later he'll be back in his post. So perhaps the point of the pasuk is to tell you, I don't think that just because he's currently not serving, he can marry anybody. No. Comes the Torah and says, even when he's tamei, he still has to adhere to higher standards in terms of who's going to marry. What about machmas mumin? What if a kohen was disabled because of a permanent blemish? He's not returning to his post. Minayin, how do we know that he too must marry the right person? Tamalim of Ahu Isha B'Sulah Yikach covers even this kohen gadol. He must marry a B'Sulah. Okay, Boimene Rav has the question of Nachman. Mashiach Shen Stareya, kohen gadol, who became a Metzayra. Ma'o Ba'amona, can marry an Amona? So the question is like this. Mitcha dochi or miftar potter? Does the kuhuna gdoila status push him away from marrying an almona, meaning it disables him from marrying an almona, and that's a permanent status? So even if he's currently no longer serving because he's permanently blemished, he has to keep away from the almona. Or you can say miftar potter. It's like a tour, it's like a temporary thing while he's serving. He can't do it. But if he's a Mitzayra, he's not going back to a Kuhuna Gedoyla to serve. So perhaps he can marry an Almona. Well, Yavah B'yodei, he never answered to the question. Zimna, a different time, Havi Yasra Papa. Vabba was sitting, coming by, he was asking this very same question. Amar Lei. So who responded? Huna Breda of Nachman. He responded to Rav Papa Tanina. We can resolve this by way of a Braisa. The Bryce that we just quoted a minute ago. Ainli Ella Shava Machas Kiryah. Perhaps this restriction only applies to a Kohen Gadol, who's just temporarily disabled. But Avar Machmas Mumin, Menai, what if he left the post because of a serious blemish and he's not going back there? Does he too have to marry a Basula? Tamalayma, but who? It covers him as well. And there's your answer. Rapapa was so excited and having his long-standing doubt resolved. Come. So he got up, he jumped up, Nashti Bereshe. He planted a kiss on Huna Breda of Nachman's head, V'yavli brat, and he gave him his daughter as a wife. He was so excited. They clarified his shaila. Says the Mishnah, Koyen Gadol, Poyra Milamata. So if a close relative passes away, Koyen Gadol can do a slight tearing. Not your standard conventional, but he can tear on bottom. V'edit Milamala, a regular Koyen can do Kriya on top. Near the neck, by the neck hole, as is customary. Kohen Gadol makriv oinen. Kohen Gadol can bring karbonis even while he's in oinen. But he can't actually eat the karbonis at that point. But regular kohen loy makriv loichel. He's locked out at this point when he's in oinen. Not only can't he eat, he can't serve as well. Now Kohen Gadol can tear on bottom. What does on bottom mean? I'm a rab. Rab explains lamata means lamata mamish only on bottom. Okay, where it's not so visible. As opposed to lamala, lamala means lamala mamush. He can't tear on top, but he can tear on bottom. Okay, so top means, near the neck. That he can't do, but on bottom he could. Shmuel amar lamata means lamata makami yusuf. Shmuel says he can tear on bottom, towards the top. But not off the hem, around the neckline. Rather, he drops down a bit and tears over the ear. Okay, so it's not as pronounced. Lamala means lamalam kamisafa. He can't do lamala, which means from the hem itself, from the seam, that he can't do. Zeva the Bitsavar, both are speaking up at the neck area. So you shouldn't do it all the way on top, just drop down a bit. Mesvi. Here comes a kash on Shmuel. I'll call him mesam kulam. So regarding any relative that passes away, rotza mavla kamisafa shaloi, person could choose to do the havdalah, the kriya, tear off the end. Right? If he chooses, he can go a bit down and drop down, just tear the material, not from the hem, not from the end. I love al imay, but in terms of doing kriya for parents who passed away, that has to be more pronounced. Mavdil, he has to tear it starting from the end. Ask the Gemara. How could Shmuel explain that a kohen gadol can do kriya, a bit lower? Given the Ma'am Havakara, since we find it elsewhere, other than father or mother, is considered halakhically valid for Kriya, Kriya Khan, Gadav Yifrim. So we apply it to the Kohen Gadol, don't tear your Begadim. If he's doing a halakhically valid Kriya, Pasuk says he can't. Kagol can't do Kriya. Answers the Gemara, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisraeli, who says that unless it starts at the end, it's not halachically valid. The Amar, who says, Kol Kera she'eni madal safa shaloi. Any tear which doesn't start at the saf at the end, ein ela kera shal tiflis, it's not really a valid Kriya. It's not a fulfillment of the Kriya obligation, in which case, when the Kohen Gadol does it, it's merely an expression of mourning, but it's not really halachically considered a Kriya, in which case, it's consistent with the Pasuk, which doesn't allow him to do a proper Kriya. Ask the Gemara, Umi Yisleiv Rabbi Yehuda, Kriya B'Kohen Gadol? But then, does then Rabbi Yehuda allow Kohen Gadol to do any Kriya? Any tear? V'atani will enter a Braisa, he can't do it at all. Ilu Namar Reish LaYifra Vegad LaYifram, the Pasuk would say, Reish, a head should not be uncovered. Should not be, you know, hair shouldn't grow long. Uveged, a beged, Leifraim, he shouldn't tear. So the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be doing para on a head and kriya on a beged. Who's beged? Who's head? Who's hair? He said, I would think, but Reishu beged shall soita kasa medaber. It's not speaking about his own self. Kohen Gadol shouldn't be uncovering the hair of a woman, a soita, or tearing a begotim. He shouldn't be doing it. Only a regular kohen does it as part of the process discussed in Masechah Soita. That's what I would think. No, Esrei Shai Lo Yifra. If Gadav Lo Yifra, the Pasuk is speaking about his own personal self. Sheinu B'Friya Frima Kalika, he can't do any Friya Frima, which means to say he can't tear anything. Did Rabbi Yehuda. So clearly Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow any tearing. Rishma Laimer. He can't tear the way everybody else does, but you know, in a more toned down way, it's okay. Ella, rather, Kohen Gadol is going to tear a bit lower. Hu melamata, he tears lower down. Ve'adid melamala, regular coin on top. But clearly, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. No tearing by the coin allowed at all. And Shmuel, who he said is in line with Rabbi Yehuda, allows a Kohen Gadol to do a slight tear. Answers the Gemara, you're right, Shmuel Sava Lekar Rabbi Yehuda Bachada. On one hand, Elzak Rabbi Yehuda, regarding the first point, that at that location, you know, lower down, it's not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya, and therefore the Kohen Gadol can do it. But the Kohen Gadol can do it. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow Kohen Gadol to do any tearing at all. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say there is a question of priority. You're faced with two karbanis, with two things you can do, two mitzvahs. Which one comes first? The one that's more frequent, the one that comes more often. Comes before the other one. Likewise, if you have two things, and one of them is more kadosh, more holy, that comes first. Says the Mishnah, I'll give an example. Par HaMashiach or Par HaEda. Okay, this is sort of a summary of Al Masechta. A Kohen Gadol sinned, he has to bring a par. The public sinned, they have to bring a par too. You have two of them at the same time, okay, believe it or not. Which one comes first? Par HaMashiach comes before Kodem, the Par HaEda B'chol Masav, for its entire process, and the Gemara will explain why Kohen Gadol's carbon comes first. But not really, how do we know that the more frequent thing comes first? Amar Abaye, Rav Apostle, Amar Kro. So the Karbanos Musaf, Ayamim Tovim, come in addition to the regular standard fare, regular Karbanos, the carbon Tamid that comes in the morning. This comes in addition. Amar Kro, Vilvado Eilas HaBaker, Asher Eilas HaTam, this comes in addition to the morning bike, to the Eilas Biker, which is the daily Eilas HaTamid. Isn't this redundant? Michtik Siv, once it says Eilas HaBoker, this is in addition to the morning bike, we know which one it is. It's the Eilas HaTamid. Lamali, why do you have to add that description as well? The Pasuk is telling us a formula. Chakam Rahman, the Pasuk is teaching us. It's a general formula. Called the Tadira Kadma. The reason why the Eilas HaBoker comes first is because it's Tamid, because it's frequent, it's common. Likewise, Tadir always comes first. V'chalam Kodesh HaVer, the Holy One takes priority. For instance, a Kayan, right? He's given the first Aliyah. Menol, how do we know that Mekudesh comes first? Metanu Rishmo, Viki Dashtai. Is the Pasuk by the Kehanim? Meant to sanctify him? Lift him up on a pedestal? Chodav Shabakdush, regarding all matters of holiness. For instance, of Tayach Rishon, to give him the first Aliyah in the Yeshu, Levarach Rishon, to give him the opportunity to do the Zimun when you bench, Vulitamana Yafa Rishon. Some Farshim explained this, talking about karbanos, right? You give him the choicest, you know, cut of meat of the karban, the best part, right? So he gets the priority in terms of matters of kedusha, and that's how we learn that it is so. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. We discussed the fact that the Arayin and all its associated items were hidden, including the Sheman Mishcha. Going forward, they would use Sheman Afar Simoin for anointment. We discussed we described how they would apply the oil, do it near the stream as a good simon. We discussed other things to be done as a good simon. We discussed the fact that our Mishnah, on the one hand, holds like the Chachamim, that only a Mashiach, a Kohen Mashiach, who is anointed, brings the par, not so a Merubah B'Gadim. Regarding the other question, the act of Kohen Gadol versus the substitute Kohen Gadol, they both have similar status, except for two things, the par Yom Kippur, Nasir Seifa, and that corresponds with the Rameir Shita, as we discussed. There's a Kohen called Mashiach Muhammad. He doesn't have many of these halachis, but the five things which are delineated in the parash of Kohen Gadol apply to him as well. The five, you know, personal things, because he too has to maintain higher standards and live accordingly. We discussed Priya and Prima, so Kohen Gadol shouldn't be doing your standard Kriya, but he can do a slight Kriya. We have two Pshatim, Rav and Shmuel. We discussed that Tadir comes first, and likewise Mekudesh. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rabbah.